What's up, Disruptive Innovation Podcast? I'm Ashley Tajay. Hey, everybody, it's Tasha.
What's up, Tribe? It's your girl, Nikki.
What's up? How are we feeling?
Feeling good. Hey. Feeling great.
I'm feeling perseverant. Yeah. I'll be honest with y'all.
Got you. Yes, I agree.
But good. I'm in good spirit.
So good to be back on the mic, to be with my sisters in spirit, because we're not physically sitting next to each other, but I feel great. Right now, it feels good.
That's what's up.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. And we have a very special guest. Yes, introduce yourself.
My name is, I am Ali, Ali T. Muhammad. And I don't often know how to, you know, explain who I am. Most recently, I've realized that I'm a pro-actionist. I like action. Awesome. I like being, pro-action. We need foresight so that way we can move forward. And an activist sounds interesting. Actionist makes sense, but we need help beforehand. And that's what I'm really about.
Oh, welcome, welcome.
Yes, welcome.
Definitely welcome.
It's a pleasure.
We're super excited to have you. Definitely excited.
Thank you. I'm excited to be here.
Yes. So, as a lot of people know, if you have been paying attention to the media and seeing what's going on in the world, there is some crazy stuff going on. First off, we definitely want to say rest in peace to George Floyd. Yes. Rest in peace to Ahmaud Arbery.
Yeah. Yeah.
And also rest in peace to Breonna Taylor, who is not getting as much, you know, traction towards her story. So we definitely want to start with that. And then we're going to get right into it, talking about like the Black Lives Matter movement. And then like what is just going on in the world today.
And could I throw one more name in there that in this, it's, you know, maybe not fair because these guys all got mainstream media, but, and there's a lot of other ones that didn't, but Sean Reed was someone that was killed by police on Facebook Live in Indianapolis, and he was former military, and we've been fighting in every single war for this country, and we still don't get the respect that we deserve. So Sean Reed also, if you don't mind.
Definitely, absolutely.
Say their names.
Yes, definitely. So how are we feeling right now with like the Black Lives Matter movement? The Black Lives Matter movement, I feel like this is like a really good time for it. And I feel like what is going on and like how we're all coming together is amazing. I know that a lot of craziness is coming along with it, like people coming for the negative aspect of it. And it's not our people. A lot of the time, which the media is not showing, it's a lot of white people coming and looting and starting the stuff off. Yes, there are Black people who are contributing to it, but I feel like if you know what to do, just follow the leaders of whatever protest you are at. Like, don't come with negativity, because we all know if one person does something, then that, especially a Black person with the Black Lives Matter movement, it ruins the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I definitely am proud right now. I'm proud to be a Black woman. I'm proud to see how Black people are coming together and we're fighting for justice and we're not going to give up until we get it. So that's how I feel.
That's beautiful, Ash.
Thank you.
That's beautiful.
Nick, you can go ahead and take it.
I stand with Black Lives Matter. I definitely think that it's important to say that and to endorse the movement. I do think that there is some negativity that's associated with it and a lot of misunderstanding. And within my walk is very different than a lot of people. You know, I don't, obviously a lot of you know that I was adopted, so I don't have a home base to go to. There's a lot of discrepancy, I guess, within my own walk. So a lot of the people that I'm surrounded by, they don't understand Black Lives Matter. I'm very, I guess, well diverse is what you would say. So I have a lot of people in my life who don't understand it, who don't see the need in it. I am not one of those people, clearly. I definitely support the movement. I think it's very positive. I think it's important that it is said. And I also, I think it's important that we support the movement. Mm. So that's my two cents.
Definitely. And as for me, I'm here for it. I'm here for the movement. I'm here for unity.
Yeah.
I'm here for to fight injustice. I am here to, you know, I'm here for all of it. Definitely not here for the negative aspect of it when people are out there rioting and looting and things of that nature. I think it really does take away from the focus, and the primary focus is our lives. We do matter. Stop killing us. So I am here for the movement. Just there's so many things that surround it, and in most cases you have to take the good with the bad.
That's with anything. Amen. Talk yeah. about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if we have if to say that, would you take it with the bad included? Yes, I'm going to take it, because we're standing up, we're united in solidarity, and yes. it's important, and we need that.
Yes.
Yes.
Ali, what do you think?
I don't like the name. And that's because I've never liked the name because of the divisiveness that comes with it. And from what I understand, and I could be wrong about it, so that's why I don't share it publicly. I don't know if the intentions of the people that founded it were co-opted from the beginning or not. And so like kind of like Planned Parenthood, where I will support, I know that their intentions weren't pure in the beginning. I know that.
Oh, no,
you know what I mean? So I know that it's changed a lot since then, but I also believe that it fits. It just made it so much easier for the next people to say all lives or blue lives. And I believe that, but then again, it's like, I'm not going to argue over a name with somebody. I believe Black value matters. If we valued our lives, if we value ourselves, we won't devalue somebody else. So this allows us to talk about things that are important in our own culture, but also Black value matters when there's white people that and people that aren't Black in positions of power, in positions of influence, in positions to say yay or nay. We're not paid attention to. And so we're not made valuable. Or we don't feel valuable, so that it doesn't matter. You see all these, you know, prime or A-list companies and people like Joe Biden and all these people putting Black agendas and things out there now. But again, I'm still mourning over Emmett Till. So it didn't matter. My Black life didn't matter because I didn't have value. So what about Black policy matters? You know? I'm going to go far right on this one. What about Black guns matter? You can't tell me as a Black man that I can't arm myself or want to defend myself when I live in a country filled with people that want to harm and hurt me. And so it's just like, that's where I feel on that. And this is someone
that's what I'm talking about.
It's like, how do we move forward? But I can understand sloganeering. I could not like sloganeering. But I can understand the value of it and what's needed, and people had to start something, and I can't speak towards these two women that started the movement. And so it's like, at the end of the day, it's grown. And, for some reason, cause I'm also wondering why people didn't start protesting when Ahmaud got murdered,
you know,
what I mean? I didn't understand that. So like, I didn't know what it was about this one, and I didn't watch him. I won't watch white supremacist recruitment tapes of Black people being killed either. So like, I don't know what was different about this one than that one, but for some reason it did something different. And when you got the whole world protesting, when you got Gen Z leading the protests, when you got minority women from Gen Z leading the protests, I'm like, all right, this is different, you know, and they're considering it under Black Lives Matter. So I gotta rock with it, you know. I'm not sure if that made sense, but
no,
I think it's really good to highlight though that there is intersectionality within everything, and that you can stand for something and not have to agree with every single detail within it. I think it's important.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. To show, that there is depth to things. So I'm really glad that you brought that up, because I like what you said about value. I talk about equity all the time.
Yeah.
And having equity, right? Having a seat at the table. Tasha and I talk about this, and we may not mirror certain politics or certain stances from privileged white men, mm-hmm. because it doesn't work the same, right? But the mentality, like you said, with you have the right to bear arms, there's a certain stance there that I do think that we need to mirror, because they're used to having privilege and they act within that privilege. So there's a value there.
Yes.
Yes. So
in order to get that seed in order to work for other communities, I think it's very important that you bring that up.
Yes.
Very true.
Intersectionality now is key. That's why I say that often, intersectionality now. And I mean, when there was the I'm Muslim, and when the Orlando killings happened at the gay nightclub,
yes,
we stood together in Wappingers, and it was a major movement, and it was monumental. And being there, locked arms with gay preachers for the first time ever in my life, that I noticed something like that with Muslims that I grew up with, Arab, Black, White, and all the different people that came together. I mean, that was it for me. I was like, intersectionality now. And that was 2016, you know? Oh, wow. And so it's just like, we needed it. We've always needed it. And I think now more than ever, we're getting that. And that's what's going to unite us more. And that's what's going to make these differences. Yes. Our leaders were killed in the 60s for uniting poor whites and poor Blacks.
That's right.
They killed Malcolm when he came back from his pilgrimage. And he realized that the blonde hair, blue eyed man wasn't the devil. He could pray right along with them. Malcolm or Martin was connecting with the Poor People's Campaign, poor whites and poor Blacks. Yeah. You know, JFK and RFK, for however flawed any of them could have been, they, once they got over their own entitlement, they were making waves. And they were taking
And that's
out.
What they fear.
Yeah, that's what they fear, us uniting.
That's right, because the truth is in that, right? And as soon as people are awakened to that truth and people are united, I totally agree with you. When I hear the moniker, I guess you were, the way that you said it, the slogan, Black Lives Matter, I know a lot of people hear that it's only Black lives that matter, but I feel as if Black lives encompass every life, right? So nothing matter until Black lives matter,
right,
as well.
Right.
And when I hear or when I see that this life is under attack, I think it's honestly everybody's responsibility to rally around
the
problem so that we can find the solution.
Mm-hmm. We feel, I've had, I got assaulted by the police on Saturday in New York City. And when I say assaulted, the guy pushed me from the back, which was unnecessary and not okay. But I also saw what happened to a lot of other protesters, and he was a Black officer. And the messages that I got from white allies about putting their bodies on the line for me made me tremble.
Yeah.
So, like, you're right. And I'm not sure which one of you said it, but once we put the bodies on the line, and yes, we all have African descent, but we're not all Black. But once Black lives do matter, once we are valued, and you show people that, when you could tell your racist uncle and your racist father and your racist brother that it's not okay, when you can raise your kids to see race,
yes,
then it's showing that, damn, change is coming. And then it's like, you got, you know, growing up in a diverse but predominantly white community, you know, basketball players, we could play ball, our coach would be white and all that stuff. Mm-hmm. But the moment you want to take a shower at the house, it's not okay. Or the moment, like, you might date one of their daughters or could, that they don't really date, they can't really do that. Like, you know, and it's wild, because even in my Islamic faith, Arabs are similar, you know, but even, you know, running for office in the city like Newburgh, New York, which is predominantly minority, when 2,300 people came out to vote and there's 30,000 people that live there, 11,000 registered, people said, well, we don't know you. And it's just like, but read what I'm writing. And the people's comprehension skills, so that is so low. So we have so much work to do in organizing not only just Black people, but humans in general. So that way we could mobilize, organize, educate, and re-educate. There's a lot of work that needs to be done.
It sounds like it. It definitely is. So since you said that about the voting, which voting is like very, very, very serious, and I feel like we don't take it seriously. So can we go into that topic, like voting? Like, what does voting mean to you since you ran to become councilman?
Yeah, voting is the Super Bowl. Voting is the last game of the season. You can't hold anything back. And the way I look at it is you've got these candidates or these elected officials that ran for office on a promise or promises, and they put it on a piece of paper and they knocked on your door, but you're not holding them accountable.
Yeah.
And it's like, and you're just letting them say whatever they want. They come around during election season and you don't vote. And so when good people don't vote, bad people get elected.
Oh, that's a good saying.
It's important. And it's like, so I've tried to be there since I'm 32 now. I've been running since I was 21. And it's I view it as, again, I like policy and legislation. I think that the fact that they could say, you know, we were 3/5 of men, and the fact that they could write in their constitution certain things, and we have these amendments, it just goes to show me that man or woman can make these changes. And yeah, so we have to be sitting at these tables. But what are we doing before election day? Mm-hmm. What are we doing to make sure that our community and our neighbors are, because that's what a community is, a fill of neighbors, right? And so it's like, it's a theory of your neighbors. What are we doing to improve their quality of life, and understanding that quality of life is to the individual is different. And so I made sure that I connected with these people. And then after 12 years, I realized I have to really meet people where they are. Cause yeah, it's they're not ready for this type of conversation yet. Even if I am, or always have been and want to be, they're going to always vote for the lesser of two evils, or they're going to always vote for the person that they know. Or they're going to not vote or participate because it doesn't matter or mean anything to them, because no president has ever changed Newburgh, New York.
No, not you.
You know?
Yep. Wow. Definitely.
They don't believe us. We need more people. They don't believe you. We need more people. So it's like, so we got to be those people in the field with them, helping them. Financial literacy. Understanding that economic development is different than gentrification, and urban revitalization is key. And we can only have a seat at the table if we are willing to participate. Okay. Fill out the damn census. Why do we have food deserts? And again, I'm in Newburgh, so it's easier for me to talk about it. But like school districts, library boards, rec departments, police commissions, you know, planning boards. If we're not a part of this, if we're not a part of the process, it's going to continue without us.
That's a big point. That's definitely a big point. You touched on systemic racism, and I know we're going to go into it. And I want to, you know, I want to make sure that we talk about how does that differ, right, from individualized racism. And I'm sure all of us have had discussions about with people in our lives who see something like this going on and are able to say, yes, it was that cop himself that was racist. It's an isolated incident where obviously we know that this is a system of racism, and it doesn't always appear or look or manifest itself in the way that individualized, personalized racism does.
Mm-hmm.
I want to touch on that because I think it's important that we educate people that systemic racism looks, it doesn't always have to look different than individualized racism, but it can. And it looks different, and sometimes it overlaps. So like making people aware of that, it's not always going to look the same as if your friend is a racist. It can, but it doesn't. What does that look like?
I mean, history is so important. History doesn't repeat, it rhymes. And I've been saying that a lot, you know, and it resonates with me. History doesn't repeat, it rhymes. So when you have these police officers who are supposed to be peace officers, but they were only established historically to be overseers for former slaves, where do you think the policies, where do you think the trainings are going to come from? They're coming from a skewed test. They're coming from a skewed point of view. They're coming from a place of hate already. When the and I don't know if this is too quick of a transition, but when the Reconstruction period only lasted 12 years because white Democrats and white Republicans needed to appease each other because they realized that these black faces were getting a little bit too much power, when Black Wall Street was giving people a little bit too much freedom and they weren't getting enough. So we have to, in most places, people aren't ready to talk about this, where it stems from. So they just say, okay, well, you know, these people are wrong, and they're right how wrong they are. But it's deeper when folks are like, well, not every cop is bad. Well, just like every black person is not a threat.
Exactly.
So let's talk about the problem. So when I could tell that black cop that wanted to provoke me, he hated himself, and I told him how much he hated himself. Uh-huh. And I asked him what's wrong with him as he's trying to show off in front of his colleagues who weren't antagonizing. There's an issue right there. So do I think that that cop is racist? No.
But do I
know that it must be extremely difficult for him to be a black officer in a sea of white officers and that historically are here to oversee black people and poor people? Yo, man, you got to be messed up, but that ain't going to give you a right to put your hands on me.
Exactly.
And we talk about this all the time. So we talk about, you can know somebody, you can grow up with them, you can have a relationship with them, and as soon as they put on that badge, mm-hmm. right? They could be black, they could be a minority, they could be brown. As soon as they put on that badge, they change. You see a lot of this stuff that's happening. Like Eric Garner, like if you look around at the officers there, there's black officers mm-hmm. there, there's yeah. minority officers there that were choking him out. And there's no way that you could tell me that you don't see yourself in this man, but you are operating in that system. So it's deeper than just individuals, and it's deeper than just skin color.
Right.
You're dealing with a system that is so entrenched, and we have given power to our system. And obviously our system's been in place for hundreds of years, and it's developed and it's perfected to the to where it can operate. And to an untrained eye, you may not realize that we are still operating under that oppression, but it's very present.
It's so present.
Oh, very crystal clear. Yeah. No, absolutely. Like, and that's why I say you may see change, but I don't see change. Mm-hmm. And who? All right, so say that I don't see change at all, that would really be a lie. But mm-hmm. if you say sprinting, or all right, let's just use animals. If we're mm-hmm. speaking of a tiger or a lion, a cheetah versus a fucking snail, okay? Mm-hmm. There's a difference. And I'm more relatable to the snail type of change mm-hmm. than mm-hmm. the cheetah type of change. And that's what I mean.
Yeah, gotcha.
We're ants moving that rubber tree plant.
Oh, thank you.
It's rough. It's really rough. It's really rough, and we can be crushed at any moment.
What do you say to? I have a lot of people, and I know you, Ali. You interact with a lot of people. You have a platform to where people of all walks of life, all color, all creed, denomination. They relate to you. Mm. So you have interface with all different types of people, as do most of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I notice when I'm interfacing with people on the different platforms that I hold, a lot of times, and you know, we speak to our faith a lot, as I know you are a man of faith.
Mm-hmm.
So within our faith, we're predominantly Christian here, right? So we were raised in the church, but we are always looking back at our faith and kind of pointing the finger at holding them accountable.
Yeah.
We see a lot of people in our walk who are supposed to be the love of God. And same thing with where you are. I'm sure, you know, you guys want to display the love of God, but we hold our, you know, our faith accountable to where you see a lot of silence in the church.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And so a lot of the platforms we're in and a lot of platforms I'm at, I see a lot of people so confused at why is it that Black Lives Matter? Why is that the moniker? You know, why do you see looting, and why can't you just do it the way that Martin Luther King did? That's what I hear all the time.
Yeah.
I get so angry at that. Like, it angers me because I go back to framing. What I hear in that is framing, because what they're asking for, and listen, let me just put this disclaimer. I am for peaceful protests. I believe that in a peaceful protest.
Yes.
But I get irritated when people call on Martin Luther King and use him as a scapegoat and saying, you should do it this way, as if the presence of violence was not there. Yeah. They're disgusted by the presence of violence. And it's the framing. To me, it's what you remember and what how your framing is that kind of shows your recollection. There was plenty of violence. The violence was just done on the officer side.
Right.
So a lot of people romanticize Selma and romanticize these events because you're not impacted in the same way that other people are when they recall it. And it's bullshit to me.
They built up a monument for Martin Luther King and they killed the movement. And that's really rough. I mean, every MLK Day, I see real smart people posting about the letters from Birmingham Jail. And I think that's where it was. And he talks about the language of the unheard, of, you know, and that's what a riot is. And I just, but again, like these kids nowadays just don't get it, because even if there are white people in the crowds messing things up, we're too susceptible to follow these trends. So it's like, right. Again, yeah. We don't value our own lives to the point where it's like, nah, but you know what? Burn down the motherfucking city hall then. Stop playing.
Exactly.
You know,
right. Like, thank you. Stop burning down your own neighborhood.
Like, what are we doing? And I probably shouldn't have said that, but you know what I mean? Like, well, at the end of the day, it's like, I'm not, you know, like I'm not Trump out here advocating for violence. I'm just saying our passion is misguided. And so what are we doing? Stand outside the city manager's crib. Stand outside the mayor's crib, 65 deep on rotating shifts. Let them know how serious we are.
Exactly.
Let them know how quickly we could touch them. And then
instead of burning down your local stores,
doesn't make no sense. And then not cleaning it up.
Where are you going to get your food?
You know,
to get your needs met. Mm-hmm. If you're burning down your own community, you're right. It makes no sense.
You know, but the White House was built off of slavery.
Oh my, preach.
You know, so it's just like, what are we willing to really tear down so we can rebuild? And again, I'm all about proaction and being proactive. So I'd rather break down this policy. We need a brand new constitution. People don't want to hear that. Brand new constitution, start it over. So you're telling me with all this information that we have out there that every single one of these slave owners is valid? That were our presidents? I mean, come on. Like, people don't want to go that far. The reason why I'm not elected right now is because people think that I've got radical thoughts.
But radical. I was going to put that moniker on you.
It's not radical. It's real. It's just realistic. It's like, yo, all right, so you're telling me all this other stuff is wrong. Wrong, right? We're not three-fifths of men. Slavery was wrong. Wrong. Yeah. So why don't we rewrite this shit? Because I know that President Lincoln didn't abolish slavery because it was wrong.
Hell
he
no.
did it because it was an economic hit to the people that he was fighting against.
Exactly. And then they got rid of his ass.
Exactly.
Okay.
So it's like, sorry.
No, so, it's like,
so it's like, come on, man. Like, what are we doing out here? And it's but again, people aren't necessarily ready for that conversation. And so I'm saying I'm tired of protests. I'm tired of demonstrating, but I'm a march. I've been in New York City on Saturday. I was in Poughkeepsie I was in two events on Poughkeepsie on Sunday. I was in Beacon and Newburgh on Monday. I was in another one in Newburgh on Tuesday. I'm gonna be at another one on Saturday, which I wasn't planning on. I'm gonna be at one on Sunday and Monday because people need us to show up. And these black women that are leading them and these young kids that are leading them need us to show up.
Yes.
So I'm gonna show up no matter how tired, how bad my feet hurt and all that stuff. And to fully answer your question about our faiths and holding these people accountable, I wholeheartedly take it to the mosque. Sometimes I'm a little too vindictive to the point where I'm like, y'all don't want to support? Why are y'all getting tax-free anything? You guys aren't doing the dawah. You aren't showing up in the community. You're not helping the homeless. You're not doing what the prophet would do. So why are you guys deserving of these tax-free dollars? Like, it doesn't make no sense. Nobody's in your church right now. Nobody's helping these non-profits out. So one of my plans when I ran for office recently was all the 150 non-for-profits that are in our community need a space to go. So you church that only has church on Sundays, and you mosque that only has a mosque on Fridays, and your prayers every couple hours, need to open up your doors to these organizations so they could teach financial literacy, so they could give daycare and affordable childcare to these parents that need a little bit more, so they could talk about certain things that need to be done, so they could have drug and alcohol counselings, so they could have a space, because y'all taking up space right now.
Yes.
And it doesn't make any sense to me. But again, but there goes the religious church, the vote. Well, I thought we were supposed to be separating church and state.
Exactly.
We talk about that all the time. We give slack to our leaders and our institution, because it comes down to the institution, right?
Yes.
What you're talking about is actual spiritual growth and depositing in the people. And that's what we try to talk about.
Yes.
But our institutions, again, you always come back to the system. And what is that system designed to do? We call out our spiritual leaders all the time. I agree with you on the tax breaks. It's ridiculous. You know how many mega churches you have in the United States? How many of them have given anything in this pandemic?
Yo.
But forget about what's happening, you know, because I get it. You're not going to see churches or specific churches into policy or politics or picking and choosing, especially with this really, you know, these hot topics when you have officers killing unarmed citizens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, you know, in a pandemic, where are you? Who are you helping?
Yeah.
We're here to call. Absolutely. That's why, you know, the name of our podcast is Disruptive.
I love that.
Innovation. We are here to disrupt.
Yes.
We want to call it out.
Yes. I try to ask people, what is the most disruptive thing you can do over the next 10 years?
Mm.
You know, and it's just, it's impactful because, again, like, I didn't realize that that was okay to say, but I've been saying it for years. Be the disturbance in their in their complacency,
yes,
and do not go away.
Wow.
I love that. We may have to have you just say that so we can play that before our episodes.
Like, oh, that sounds like a plan.
You could coin it, you could take it, like, be the disturbance in their complacency and never go away.
Wow.
We cannot afford to.
No, we cannot. No,
come on. I don't got no kids, and I want to be able to bring kids into this world and feel safer. One of the things that got me shook the most the last couple of days was when my brother Andre Savage went on stage in front of people and started crying about being a Black father and how painful it is as a Black man. And it's just like, this man don't show emotion like that.
Uh-huh.
And for him to do that and to be so real, and not because he wanted to, because he had to, because people were missing the mark.
Exactly. Man.
He had to bring it back, a reality check.
Yeah.
My Black children are not safe in this country, and neither am I.
Hmm. So let's talk about that. Let's get into, I mean, we've definitely covered like the protests. Obviously we hear that you're present in as many of them as you can be.
Mm-hmm.
I attended my first one. I thought it was very powerful. Mm. How do you guys feel about the protests? Ash, Tosh, can you give us you know, your feelings, your thoughts, things like that?
Yes.
About, like,
the
movement, the protests.
Okay, Ashley, you want to go first?
No.
So I definitely, I love the protests. I think the protests are amazing. I think it's like a really good thing. It was really good to see the protests the other day in Poughkeepsie, like to see how, like, they did come with all of these police. I've never seen so many police officers in a place, and I pray that I don't even ever have to see that.
Right.
But, like, seeing that, how they all came, and then seeing how all the people came out for the movement, and how it was positive, because the plan was, oh, you know, Poughkeepsie, what is it called? Antifa?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what it's called? Yeah, yep. Antifa, that they were saying they were going to come and they were going to loot and they were going to burn stuff down. But to see all of the people come, and it was positive, and although, like, they stayed out there until, like, I think it didn't really die down until, like, almost midnight. That was when, like, the streets were completely clear. But to see that, that was amazing. So I'm definitely down for the protest. And unfortunately, I am down for the looting. But I'm down for the looting and the rioting and burning stuff down for the places that we need to be burning down. Let's not burn down the corner store that we in every week.
Right.
But we can definitely burn down the City Hall.
Right.
I'm definitely down for going to the White House and burning it down. If y'all get out, get out. You don't.
Now we're going to jail.
Hey, speak your truth, young lady.
Yes, yes, yes.
So I'm here for it. I wasn't even mad when they was burnt, when they was not burning down, but breaking up and stealing all the Gucci stuff. Take it all, because we didn't forget what they did to us. Mm-hmm. What is it, 2 years ago with that black damn sweater, exactly, and thinking that that was okay. Especially when the black people are the real people who are pushing your stuff. We're not the only people who buy it, but when they see us wearing it, whether they're white, Asian, Mexican, whatever, they gonna follow what we doing.
Right.
But to see that, yeah, burning.
And for me, protesting, if you're gonna go out there and protest and that's the way you feel led to do so, to use your voice, by all means do so. But you will never catch me out there protesting and sacrificing my body for any of it. Because in the back of my mind, the front of my mind, and both sides, this shit's never gonna change. So I'm not going to sacrifice my life for no change to happen. Just not going to do it. And that's it. Simple as that.
And with you saying that, it's okay.
Yeah.
You understand what I'm saying? If you don't want to protest, it's okay.
Yeah.
But the thing I love that you are doing, you're not protesting, but you are using your voice and you are standing up for the cause and you are being present and understanding and you know, paying attention to what's going on and understanding like the craziness in that. We need
making
change.
Phone calls. I do everything that I can on the back end, or you can even stay on the forefront, but being in the privacy of my own home. But you will not see me outside. That's just not something that I've ever seen myself having the desire to do, because I have to wholeheartedly believe that change is going to come about for me to put my life on the line. I just won't do it because I don't believe change is ever going to happen. That's just the bottom line.
Okay.
I have a question here. So, and, you know, obviously, like I said, I don't personally endorse the violence. Ash, I welcome your truth. I think it's so important that we have variety of thought here. You know what I mean? I think that's how we grow. We need to challenge each other. We should not all agree on everything.
No.
I do think it's interesting, though, and when it comes down time to when violence is present, historically, a lot of the changes that are made, unfortunately, I feel, are made after violence is present.
Yeah, it's a bad precedent.
It's now, I think of things, I'm going to break it down real basic, like as a mom, you know, I have kids, right? And you could tell your children, I can't tell you how many times I tell the boys something so peacefully, so calmly, I can give a clear directive. 800 times. Do you know when action is ensued? When I lose my shit, right? And that's real simplified, but it's the very same principle. I question that sometimes. You know, is that a real thing?
I believe it is.
I do too.
Because I feel like a lot of people, like a lot of businesses, big businesses, didn't start having a voice until they start to see that, like, okay, we gonna burn your shit next. So you gonna speak up? Or you might as well kiss it goodbye. You understand what I'm saying? Which is unfortunate. I feel like we shouldn't have to do that, especially for these businesses who know that Black people are the forefront of making your business grow. Like, there's so many people who did not say anything until, you know, today. And there's so many people who still haven't even spoke. And, like, that is the thing that's driving me crazy. And the one thing that I do want to say is, like, no, if you don't know what to say, we don't need you coming out and saying something that makes you sound stupid, or you don't, you know, you really don't know where you stand, so you just saying any and everything. We don't want you doing that. But you could at least just say a little Black Lives Matter. You understand what I'm saying? You could say something. You don't got to come out with a whole paragraph. I don't need you to make an Instagram video. I don't need you to do all that. But you need to stand up for us, because we know the stuff that's going on, it's not right.
It's wrong.
Yeah. And period. And violence, without violence, we rise. And the setting the precedent that after violence comes change is dangerous, because what happens when those white folks that are protesting reopening America decide to shoot a politician, and then something happens because of it? You know, it's just, and then they decide to reopen it because they don't want to deal with none of that smoke. Or what happens when they decide to do something when one of us slips up, and then they say, well, look what they did, and they hang us. And then it's like, well, look what they did, and they feel like they justified it. And then those other people can come out the closet like they did with MAGA and all that stuff. So, like, I am not a proponent of the violence, because we're not ready to go against militant or military forces. We're not prepared, but I am prepared to lead a generation to prepare, if that makes sense.
Yes, it does.
So we need to get disciplined, martial arts. We need to get disciplined, jiu-jitsu. We need to get disciplined with alternative forms of medicine, and really change our mind frames. And then, you know, like, listen, you might never own a gun in your life, but you should learn how to clean a gun, how to equip a gun if you want to know the process of, okay, black boy, if you want to own a gun, you can't get a felony.
Mm-hmm.
So you might need to understand that joining that gang or not getting those tattoos or getting a job at McDonald's might be better than you hustling on the block, so that way you can protect yourself. Because too many of us feel like we'd rather get caught with it than without it. But them laws that Joe Biden and them pass only make us more super predators.
Restructure. Absolutely. And I agree with you, because not a damn one of us are in favor of Joe Biden. I cannot say that.
I've gotten torn up by so many of black older women and so many white liberals. And Malcolm X said a lot about white liberals / progressives, how, oh, we have to choose them. Oh, you're not a Democrat if you don't do this or you don't do that. And it's like, the man not only has an actual voting record, a whole voting record. Uh-huh. Right. And I just didn't know about it. I was not keen to it beforehand, or I would have had issues when I voted for him with Obama. But you can't tell me that he's the one. And in the NFL, they made the Rooney rule. You had to interview a black person, but that didn't mean you had to hire him. So if you're going to hire, if you're not going to hire one of these black women that you put up, I got real deep issues with it. I'm going to vote for Howie Hawkins on the Green Party line. And I'm going to figure out who I'm going to vote for on every other line, because I can't support that man. And then people tell me how wrong I am. And he's, what about Supreme Court? And I get that. But listen, Tara Reid isn't lying. The crime bills was pushed by that man.
Yeah.
He didn't support gay marriage until later. So, like, what are we doing? Like, why is it okay? Because he's a Democrat? But y'all same people push.
Nah,
you know, I'm not, come on.
I think identity politics are terrible.
Yeah, they're the worst.
Absolutely terrible. And they do not allow you to think and be present.
Right.
Fuck that. If I say that.
Now, you said that. Say that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, are you kidding me?
Joe Creepy Biden. Uncle Joe is a creep.
Yeah, he's a whole creep. No. You can't tell me he ain't a pedophile.
It's weird, man.
That he's not. Oh my gosh, I would not believe it. But then that brings us to our current state of choice. Cause at the
helm.
Really, we only have two to choose from. Because the liberals, the conservatives, they never make it to the top two.
Yeah.
So let's just be honest with ourselves here. So with two choices that we have, the lesser of two evils would be who?
I'm gonna be honest with you, I can't tell right now.
So we are told that we only have two choices, but that third party, that independent party, will always be the party of the future until we take a hold of it. So what I'm doing to ensure that the Green Party, who I can actually align with their values, has ballot access for the 2022 gubernatorial election, governor election, I'm voting for Howie Hawkins in the general election, but in the primary, I'm voting for Bernie. In the New York State primary, I'm voting for Bernie so he can get some delegates.
Mm. We
you
all
know what? And I have my mine upstairs. I have my ballot upstairs, and I have to finish completing it and then have it sent. Mm-hmm. I will definitely make some changes.
You get what I'm saying? Like, they can't tell me no. Like, this is what I do. Like, a couple people tried to pull cards. I'm like, no, this is what I know. So when they sued Andrew Yang, and them sued to have other names on the ballot. And so even though Joe Biden is the presumptive nominee and all this other stuff, yes, it still goes down to the delegates, and which gives us some type of buying power, which gives us a little bit of power for the VP nomination. But when it comes down to it, I do think that he will be the vice president. He will be the presidential nominee. And so, again, primary, yes, I'm voting for Bernie. Yes. And in the general election in November, I cannot vote for Trump. I will not vote for the boy. So I'm going to vote for Howie Hawkins, who I've met and I can actually support. And if I didn't know him, I would think he was Black just the way he sounds. Mm. But he's an older white dude, too. I'm tired of old white men leading things.
Thank you.
We've been saying this.
It makes no sense.
Oh, my gosh. I am so glad you just said that, Ali. That's the way I have been feeling since I was able to feel. I'm fucking tired of seeing white men in positions of power.
What the hell are we doing?
When they do not know what the fuck they are doing.
None. They haven't. They have not.
Exactly.
And so we're going to continue down this path? Nah, fuck out of here. I'm not with this shit.
Exactly.
None of it.
Oh, my. Well, how do we change that? How do we do that? Because that's what we need to do.
Run for something. Pick up the clipboard, right?
So let's get into action. Like, I feel like that should be like our next. We're hitting there. We're definitely hitting there. Ashley, you had a couple of bullet points that we didn't hit, and I just want to give you the opportunity to hit them. I mean, I feel like it kind of goes without saying. Yes. Do we have to react to Trump's reactions? You put it on here. Let's do it for the heck of it before we get into action. How are you guys feeling about, you know, when the looting starts, the shooting starts? How do you feel about some of these
responses? Is that what he said?
Yeah, with the bitch ass took that from an old former cop in Florida and used to say. And first of all, what I want to say is, if you're going to re-quote some shit and someone asks you, okay, that came from an X a day from this person, how do you feel? Oh, I didn't know that came from bullshit. You know what you're saying is stemming from what you're piggybacking off what someone else said. You're basically stealing a statement from someone else that breeds hate.
So can I tell you a secret about him?
Yes.
Yeah.
He doesn't do his own tweets.
My daughter shared that.
Yeah, he doesn't. It's actually somebody from Dutchess County, or at least in 2016 to 20-something, it was a man from Dutchess County that did it. And so, like, it gives him a little bit of plausible deniability, you know, and it's, which does not make it okay at all, but it just makes me realize the man really is a entertainer, and it's whack. He's a business, exactly. And so he knows how to... He is speaking to his base.
Yeah, he is. Yeah. He definitely is. And it used to be coded, but it's not even. It
doesn't have to be anymore.
Nope. It is so blatant. How do we feel about the photo ops?
You know, which one?
The picture with the Bible, you know, and most people have some sort of faith in some way, shape, or form. How do you feel about that?
Are you talking about the one that resembles Adolf Hitler?
Yes, that one.
Mm. I gotta defer to y'all because I'm not gonna lie to you. I don't pay attention to him.
Not one thing
that he does, and so I don't know about any of this stuff. But I believe it to be true, and I would love to hear what y'all have to say. Like, that's wild even to hear.
But... yeah, it's disgusting.
It's disturbing.
It's very disturbing, disgusting. It's very like ill. Like, what is that? But it also makes me. It makes me think. Like, so you people. Mm. We're okay with letting him get in here, but everybody had a problem with Bernie trying to get free health care and schooling for the people. Like, that makes me so mad. That makes me so angry that people were like, free health care? Mm-hmm. But you're okay with this man making an ass out of America? He's an embarrassment.
Yes.
There's nothing that he's ever said that I'm like, you know what? I get with nothing. It makes me so mad that people were so like not for Bernie. Like, it just makes me so mad. But it's like, you know what? This is what you get. But now to suffer. It's not just some of us. All of us have to suffer. Yeah.
And that's the part about it.
And it makes me mad. I cannot stand him. It just makes me mad. I don't like him. I don't like anyone who's down for it. It makes me angry.
Right. But with the media thing, the photo ops, however you want to coin the phrase, but I feel like the media has a way of just making things worse.
Oh, I agree.
Than what they are. Yeah. They want you to focus so much on something to take your mind off of what's really going on. Mm-hmm. Did the photo bother me? Yeah. But not bothered me enough to be like, oh my gosh, we're already living in hell.
Yeah.
So it didn't really bother me that much. What we have to focus on now is getting them out.
Yeah.
I like it.
That's what we need to focus on. Not focusing on the pictures, not the tweets, not seeing this dumbass with that fucking toupee.
And kills me.
How do you have so much money and your hair looks like shit? Yeah. But anyway, it's like we can't focus on that. We have to focus on getting them out. Along with all those white racist other fucking people in positions of power.
And the black racist ones too. Cause just because you black don't mean that you ain't racist.
That's very true. That's
Black, white, Asian, Mexican, Dominican, Puerto Rican, everybody.
No, you're it's right, true. All of very true. It's
you're right.
True.
All of them are absolutely right.
My point in the picture wasn't necessarily the photo or the aesthetic or the way that it looked. Okay. But if you heard like what the bishop said about him, which was interesting to me, like the bishop called it sacrilegious.
Mm.
I don't think we've ever heard that before in the history of America. I know I haven't. I've never heard a religious leader say that about our acting or our president, our sitting leader.
Wow.
Like that's crazy to me.
Wow.
People still endorse it though, which is the other crazy
part. Right.
But then again, you hear the elders speak of all the time about this being the end times and Trump being carry out the whole process and how Christ is coming back and how it's the Antichrist and how so what is it?
Yeah, I feel you.
So what is it? Like if this is the way it's supposed to go down, then are we letting it take its course so that the Lord's will be done, or are we trying to rewrite history that's already do you understand what I'm saying?
I
don't understand. But it's confusing.
For me, I go back to simplicity because I get confused too. But here's what I do know, and I feel like this can be for everybody. What we do know is what is our reflection here, right? Is that how our spiritual leader has us act? That's not how my spiritual leader has me act. It's not the proper reflection of the faith that I follow. So for me, that's a no-go. I can't endorse that.
Yeah, but then again, we act out not the way our spiritual leader would allow us to act in other ways.
Hmm.
If we were in positions of high power, like we sin every fucking day. I'm sinning now by cussing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Understand what I'm saying? And to Christ, no sin, no one sin is greater than another. And we all fall short of the glory of God.
Mm.
So my thing is, if he's put in place, this is what elders don't necessarily agree with it because I haven't read Revelation from fucking beginning to the end. So I can't say. But what I'm saying, what I'm being told by my elders is this is the plan. Right. This is grace. Christ is coming back. This, that, and the third. So what are we doing?
But that doesn't mean that we endorse. So this is my issue with it. I'm all for the plan.
Okay.
And either way, God is going to have his way, point blank, period.
Yes.
I'm all for whatever God's plan is, but that does not mean that I have to endorse the human actions of somebody that does not align with the basic principles of God's love and God's grace.
Okay.
If nothing else across the world, I feel like we can agree that God is loving and God is gracious.
Yes.
We may not agree on many, but we can agree on that. And if it does not reflect that for me, I am not endorsing that action. Plan or not plan. Point, and that's just me. That's where I'm at. So I feel like everybody needs to find where they are, but that's where my heart is.
I'm really glad that you said that, because I was having this conversation with someone about, like, if you are a Christian and you are following the beliefs, unfortunately, your beliefs match up with Trump. But just because your beliefs match up with Trump, do you agree with his character? Do you agree with his beliefs? No. Do you agree with the way that he acts? Like, you gotta be kidding me with this. Like, come on now. Like, Christians can't wake up.
You can't agree with it if you're a good person. And same reason why, if you're a good person, you can't agree with Bill Clinton. You can't agree with the more that we learned about him and Jeffrey Epstein and all these things, and your boy Biden. And it comes down to, like, even as Muslims, we believe in Jesus coming back. I won't go too deep into it. I don't want to offend you guys what we think is going to happen, but we do believe he's going to come back.
It's okay. You can speak on it. It's okay.
Well, I'm not an imam, and I don't want to, it's only going to be surface stuff, but we believe that he will come back and start a family. He will kill the pig and he'll break the cross. Okay. So, and we say that as a form of idolatry. We don't believe in idol worshiping. And even though, you know, like, whatever, like, Christians, you know, have their Lord on a cross, and they give an idol worship to someone they believe is the Son of God, and we don't believe that we believe in everything about Jesus except for the fact that we don't believe God has any sons or mothers or fathers or anything like that.
Okay.
You know?
Okay.
But like, that's where we're coming from. But again, we believe in Christianity. We believe in the Quran, Jesus's name is mentioned more times than any other prophet or messenger, including Muhammad. It's just different things at the end. And so, and my spirituality ranks higher than a lot of everything else, because every single book or revelation is given to some prophet with a burning bush or in a mountain by one of the main angels, like Gabriel. So, like, it's just a lot that goes into an interpretation. But logically and practically, I don't have those answers. And I like to, and Jesus is my homeboy, and I want to be like him. And I try to be like him, and I try to act as the way the prophet moves. But simply put, Trump has raised more money than any other sitting president has ever raised. Yeah. He bought his election. He could make any Republican candidate get a primary. And he paid for his cabinet.
Yep.
And so I'm a firm believer that he is not going to lose. And that scares me, but agreed. I don't, you know what I mean? So it's like all this other stuff is just fucking Oklahoma shuffle. Watch what we do over here while we do all this other bullshit in the back. You know, the left wing, the blue wing, and the right wing are the same fucking wings of the bird.
Talk about it.
So, it's rough for me to, you know, and nobody wants to hear none of that. And it's tough. And I hope they listen. I'm going to make sure I push this podcast in their face, because they need to listen, because I'm tired of our pearls of wisdom telling me that I'm wrong, even though y'all raised me to see this.
Exactly.
So almost like, how dare you? But I'm respectful.
Of course.
You know what I'm saying? But like, come on, like, nah, I can see through all of this. And so that's why it leads me to the thing of, all right, we got to dismantle this by getting in these positions of influence, getting in these positions of power. If you don't want to run for office, join your committee.
I was just, so that way you could select. What other ways could you affect change? I'm never, politics, not my game. I feel like, and I hope this doesn't offend you.
No, nothing does.
All politicians are fucking fake. I don't believe that they give a damn. I believe it's about power. I don't believe that they care about people.
Okay? What do you think about me so far?
Oh, I think you're shit. Like, I really like you as an individual. Now, I don't know what you're doing, you know what I'm saying, in terms of politics. Now, as a protester, regular people are protesting. I would like to see how you act, how you maneuver, what you've done in your last, you said 12 years, right?
In the last 12 years, I was elected for twice, and I served 4 years, and I've got a voting record as a council member. I don't like looking at myself as a politician, but okay. Technically I am. I view myself as a public servant.
Oh, you know. Okay, well, that's the first time I've heard a politician say that.
It's just how I feel. Okay. And then people say, well, technically you're this. And like, all right, I get that. But I view myself as a public servant. And it's difficult because we have such a distaste and distrust for people in these positions.
We do.
And I don't think everybody gets compromised. I think there's some good ones out there. And I think there's enough that are doing it for self-interest. And they're okay with getting that $80,000 to $150,000 paycheck. Yeah. And while they're able to work at their own business or their own law firm, and they stack up. And again, these people won't get replaced if good people don't take their positions.
Yeah, I understand that.
You know what I mean? Yeah. And it's difficult. It's difficult. But I think that I've stayed true to who I am. And a lot of people said good people don't last in politics. And I'm technically not an elected official. And I haven't been for a couple years now. And Democrats pushed me out of office because I supported a man that I truly believe was good, but he wasn't in the same party. They told me to support their candidate publicly, but behind closed doors to my people, I should tell them who I'm voting for.
What?
And to me, that's hypocritical.
Yes.
So I decided not to, and that I consider myself a phoenix. I committed political suicide twice.
Yeah.
You know? It's crazy.
Yeah, because that whole politics, it's just filthy. There's so many negative events, stories, everything associated with it.
Yeah.
Since the beginning, it's never been a good thing. So I mean, we play the game because that's what we have to do. They tell you to vote. You vote. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you really believe things are going to change? No. But you do it. Now, you're playing the game.
Now, and I appreciate you. This is the optimist speaking to you now.
Okay.
The things that have changed was we were 3/5 of men. The things that have changed was we couldn't own property. The things that have changed we weren't able to vote. The things that have changed, we weren't able to go to schools with white folks. The things that have changed was we weren't able to get better jobs. And so things are changing, but we're just not that far removed from it to the point where it's like, it's almost, in my opinion, it's my responsibility. I'm not going to war,
okay. But
it's my responsibility to write policy and legislation. Mm-hmm. Now, you don't have to do that as a politician, but then again, someone who can vote on that legislation and that policy that could recreate it, that can create it and can vote for it and sponsor it and push it and educate their people on it is some of the best things that we can do. In that 12-year period of the Reconstruction period, we've had more elected officials in that time than ever in our history. And that was in the 1800s.
Wow.
So it's almost like a travesty that we've been so, not hypnotized, because it's the truth, the facts. We're not given anything. I always mess up her name because I got a little speech impediment sometimes, but Shirley Chisholm?
Shirley Chisholm.
Yes.
Shirley Chisholm.
Yes.
One of the best.
Yes.
We owe it to her, in my opinion.
Yeah,
her black behind did not have to do any of the things that she did, but she did that. She didn't get everything that she deserved, but she did that.
Right.
I might never be president or governor, but I'm going to continue to push forward. Seeing my black kids that I mentored in Beacon show up to support me and stand with me in Newburgh was impactful. Elijah Hughes is going to get drafted and go to the NBA, and him and his brothers showed up to stand with me.
Wow.
That's awesome.
That is
and
awesome.
It made it so much more relevant for me to have left Beacon to move to Newburgh at the time where I needed to get away. I felt like I was a political refugee. I had to get away from these white liberals and expand my wings. And I wasn't sure what I was leaving behind. But to know that these brothers are good and that they're strong and that they're standing up, and I'm not going to say because of me, but I know that I had an impact in their lives. Man, we doing the right thing. And so it's just like, and none of them might ever become politicians, but I know one of them is going to be an NBA star. One's in the MLB. The other one does graphic design. The other one wants to own a business in a building. The other one does this. This one's going to go play overseas. The other one plans to run for office.
I understand that.
You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, you know, get a podcast, do your art. Like, if you make music, stop degrading women.
Facts.
We don't have to do it the same way. Like, I don't like to look at myself as a purist, but like, come on, fellas. Like, come on, ladies. Like, come on, people. Like, we could do this better. We don't got to continue to call each other the N-word.
Mm-hmm. This is your POC moment right here. I have to call it out because I'm so serious. Because all I hear right now is, I'm not saying I'm going to change the world, but I guarantee you that I will spark the brain that will. 100%. And that's what I hear.
100%. I live by that. He sparked mine. And that's 100%. That's it. That's all we could ask for. Like, I could get off the phone and die tonight and never hear this podcast.
Uh-huh.
But it's been done.
Yep.
It was written. We believe it was written. We don't have to have the same faith, but we believe it was written.
Right. That's right. And we can stand arm in arm.
And we have to.
That's right.
I love that. I do love that. Mm-hmm. And I love how you did say, you know, being an optimist and showing that things have changed. Although I can fight you on that.
I know. I know you can.
I'm not saying nothing. I'm just very slowly to where you barely can see it. And when you see a little bit of change, behind the scenes, it really hasn't. And that's what I look at.
Right. One out of 45. And as much as I love Barack, he wasn't the best.
No,
so like, you know what I'm saying? Like Jackie Robinson is dope, but Willie Hayes Mays was the best. You know, Willie Mays was the best. So
I'm not baseball, but I can. No, I'm dead serious.
You know,
I see where you're going with it.
Yes. Willie Mays did it all. Oh, and that's it.
No, I totally get it. Oh my gosh. I mean, this is so super dope.
Bro, I love it. I love it. I'm happy to be here. Yes. Y'all made my day. Y'all made my week.
Facts.
Exactly. Oh my goodness.
Absolutely. Do you want to take us into our call of action? I know you had some other things. Do you want to hit any of those? Do you want to take us into what can we do? How can we be a part? Like, how?
So Ali, what do you think we can do to continue the fight?
Man, this is great. I'm a scribe. I like journalism. I like stories. And I think the best thing that we can do is share our stories or other people's stories. And that's, it seems simple, but like, that's what you guys are doing on this podcast. You know what I mean? Like, that's one of the best things that we can do is, because I think it's easy to donate money, whether you're white, black, or whatever.
Right.
It's physically easy, even though I'm exhausted, to show up to these things, whether I'm talking or not. But sharing someone else's story, some of these white folks, a lot of these white folks have been reaching out to me, asking me what they could do. And I've sat on some of it, you know, educate. I told you earlier, educate your kids to not be this way and educate them to see race and share the story of you being racist. Share the story of your uncle being racist. Share the story of your friend saying the N-word in that song and it, or you telling that joke when the black person left or whatever. Like, share how it makes you feel. Share how it makes you feel to be that white coach for all black school and how you know they look at you sideways because they can't trust you, but you can understand it and you don't have to forgive them because you get it and that you are willing to put your life and your body on the line. Share that and don't stop sharing it. I think that's one of the easiest things that we can do with the social media and the technology that we have.
Yes.
So I think that's important.
And voting. You did speak on voting, right?
I do believe in voting. I believe in the bullet over the ballot. I'm sorry. I believe in the ballot over the bullet because we're not ready for the bullet.
No.
And I believe in the peace. I believe that if we ever have 100% voting, eligible voters voting, we will do what they never expected us to do, to the point where they're going to almost want to have to retaliate, because once we get 100% of our eligible voters voting, they can't control it. The media is the most effective devil in America. And indeed, I have issues with them. I've always had issues with A-list and B-list celebrities because I can't believe you. And it's just like, I don't want people to be like, huh?
I said that's how I feel about politicians.
Understandable. Understandable. It's tough. You know what I mean? And I'll find my few or whatever, but it's just like, I'd rather focus on the local person. I'd rather focus on the local artist. I'd rather focus on a local elected official, public servant, politician, because at least I know I can reach them. At least I know basically where they're coming from. Every election is essentially local, except for president, because of the Electoral College. That congressman that you don't see often, but he wins by a couple hundred thousand votes, is local, even if he's going to D.C. all the time. And you could pull his card if you really wanted to. And the fact of the matter is, a lot of us don't. You know what I mean? Even the white folks that are part of the Sloop Clubs and Clearwater, and I'm talking about Beacon right now. It's predominantly Beacon right now, but like, we got to pull people's cards. I hold the mirror in front of myself, and damn sure hold it in front of other people. And it makes people feel uncomfortable. If you want to be disruptive, pull people's cards and make them uneasy, make them uncomfortable, and do it with respect.
Yeah. Yeah. How can we, like, all right, so what if somebody wants to volunteer and stuff like that?
Oh, that stuff, yeah.
Or how do you play like more of a physical active role as well? Like, if we wanted to come out and support, where do we go?
Show up. Show up to anything you can. So I volunteer at the Newburgh Armory as much as I can, and they've been doing a food drive. And like, I'll get there and I'll get volunteers. I would say focus on your local community. Focus on your local community, and you know, where are you guys from? All over the place.
We're Poughkeepsie.
Oh, okay.
They're in Poughkeepsie. I'm in Kingston.
Okay, so two great places that are pivotal, and you know, I would start with the people that you trust and see where you could help them. Whether it's, I mean, there's a pandemic going on still,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So like, food drives, donating or handing out PPEs. If you could take this pandemic seriously and you're not trying to go outside right now, you know, stay inside. And again, contact your local, you know, ministries and churches and organizations that are doing the work. And see what you could do to spread the word. It's not easy right now because of the social distancing going on, but I would say put your body on the line. And if you're not going to a protest or demonstration, show up to a food bank. If you're not going to a food bank or something like that, see who you could tutor, you know? See what kids need tutoring, because these kids are going to be left behind. It doesn't make no sense. Like, you got 75 kids in a class that's never been good, and they're learning online. Like, what can you do in your neighborhood? These cleanups, everybody's throwing their PPEs on the ground. Clean up your neighborhood. Clean up so that they don't suffer from the broken windows theory. You know what I mean? Little things like that. Like, I these are things that I always do, and I've always done since I was younger. And I started doing when I was running for office, and I started doing when I was out of office, and I kept doing it because people need to know that they can live in a clean community. And sometimes when people from the outside do it, they look at them like, damn, if they're willing to do this, maybe I can, or I ought to.
Got you. Makes sense.
Love that.
Makes perfect sense.
Practical stuff, you know, like, I do clothing drives, and I used to call it Dress for Success, but the old organization that did it, or the current organization that did it, told me that I need to cease and desist. So I called it the United Way, not the United Way. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to say their name because I'm not. It is what it is. Yep. And so I call it the Give Back, and I give clothing out to people, so that way they can, you know, have underwear, clean clothes, suits and ties, basic wear, whatever they need to help them every day. Because at the end of the day, you can get the haircut for the job, but if you don't feel like you got clean clothes, you're not gonna be able to go get that. Then it made me realize people need etiquette. They need self-esteem training. Like, even though this esteem, self-esteem is the esteem of your motherfucking self, you still might need help getting to that point.
That's true.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that's real.
You better speak. Yes, you explained that perfectly. Oh my gosh, thank you.
Yeah. I'm gonna close this out. I feel like we got some great content. I hope everybody listening, I hope you heard, like you heard these words, you let it sink in. You can find us, please like, subscribe, share, and you can find us at Disruptive Innovation Podcast on Instagram. We are on Facebook. You can find us on Spotify as well as Apple Podcasts.
Nice.
So definitely like, share, subscribe. We want to thank you, Tribe. Thanks for the talk. We thank everybody for listening and tuning in. Stay tuned for next time.
Peace.
Thank you, guys. Take care.
Take care.